May the peace of Christ be with you.
Thank you.
It's my great honor and privilege to speak to you today. I don't know many of you individually or anything much about you as a church, but I can tell you in just a couple of times of visiting, we've gotten 3 invitations to meals with you, and you're a very hospitable group, very much. You sing beautifully, and I love your community when you were all talking and sharing with each other. I can tell already this is a vibrant and alive community, and it's my honor to be here with you today. So thank you for inviting me. I am a friend of Megan's. I met her a year ago when we moved here from Ohio, and we just hit it off and met with her about almost once a week for a year. And I'll tell you, when she was preparing to leave, one of the things she told me after she had asked me to speak, which really floored me, by the way, if I'm just a housewife, was that she said, "I want them to know that the Spirit is inside of them." And I hope that you'll hear a little bit of that throughout what I say and share today. And there's also a theme of letting your guard down and risk-taking both inside and outside the church walls. So let's start with our story. My husband Ben and I and our 3 children, we moved here about, like I said, a year ago from Dover, Ohio. He can speak for himself and can, where our stories are different, but most of it has been together. We've been married 19 years this month. I started out in Tennessee, where my dad joined the military, and I moved to California, Illinois, Maryland, England, before meeting Ben at Laterno University in Texas. Ben got a job in Ohio and when we graduated, and we lived there for 17 years while he helped run a small aviation business there. And I worked as a mental health counselor before having children and staying home. And we've been homeschooling for about 5 years now. We became youth group leaders in the church we attended in Texas during college, and we remained involved in youth ministry when we moved to Ohio. But after a few years, we left the church because we were getting jaded by the superficial commercialism that we were feeling in the mega church that we attended. We had hopped to several different denominations. For 6 years, we didn't go really anywhere. When we had children, we decided it was time to find a church again. So eventually, we were appointed by 4 different people to try a new Mennonite church plant in Dover, Ohio, called LifeBridge Community Church. All we knew of Mennonites was the conservative Mennonites and Amish country that were about 20 minutes from our house. And the head coverings and the clothes shouted legalism to us, and so we didn't really want any part of that. We were afraid to try it. But we visited anyway and immediately felt at home in the tiny church plant that was far from perfect. In fact, it was downright messy. They didn't have a building. The pastor sometimes forgot where his notes or his Bible was, and the sound system never worked right. The imperfection was the realness that we were looking for. The church plan of about 30 people when we joined had just a few families from the 4 different Mennonite churches that had started us. And the rest of them were people like ourselves, jaded by other churches, or random people that our pastor met at the mall or on the street and invited, or we invited. We all took a membership class where we learned the basic tenets of Anabaptist beliefs and its history. And I remember thinking, I really like the social activism, kingdom community, and the creation care pieces. And we've agreed, we're going to join in spite of this really radical stance they have on peacemaking. And so, I brought a military kit. The first lesson God taught us in our new church home was to love our neighbors as ourselves, literally. We made our neighborhood our first mission to love radically, not change them, but just love them. in the context of community, it took about 6 months of watching at our church a few lifelong Mennonites, like many, some of you might be, and reading Irresistible Revolution by Shane Claiborne to transform our hardened view of peacemaking. We had an opportunity to try out in our neighborhood this new concept of peacemaking when a very difficult-to-love neighbor threatened to sue us in a letter if we didn't fix a tiny part of the driveway that we shared. Prior to learning the Jesus way through a Mennonite church, we would have thrown the letter away and probably said rude things about him. But now we couldn't. This was an opportunity to love an enemy. So we went above and beyond and repaired the area of driveway requested and far beyond into the area that was clearly his land as well. I'm not bragging, and it may seem like nothing big to you, but this was the beginning of a new way of life for us, the Jesus way, or some have called it the third way. There were two obvious ways of the world, and like we could have ripped the paper up or complied minimally, but Jesus gave us another option. In this way case, it was to radically love him by going above and beyond his request. And praise God for change. We were churchless, gun-toting supporters of war, unloving witnesses to Christ's love, and modern-day Pharisees, and we were called out on the carpet to begin doing the most basic, kind things for people. And it was really hard. But we had a supportive community at our new church, which continued to grow with more and more broken people like ourselves who would come and confess our sins to each other and share the ways that God was growing us. Becoming part of a Mennonite church plant was a new start for us. It rattled our thinking. We began to challenge everything we had assumed and be really open-minded for the first time in our lives. Just a little bit. And we were so excited for all these changes. We were inviting people to church right and left. And starting over, I felt I had no idea how to share the good news with others in a way that was real and not in an impersonal or contrived way. In fact, I wasn't even sure I could put words to exactly what the good news was. I knew the Sunday school answers, but I didn't realize that what we were living out at a church, our church, was the good news. The Jesus way of doing things and being forgiven, this transformative community. The fact that the Holy Spirit, God's Spirit, walks with us on our journey so that we're not alone, that there's hope for the eternal and for here on earth. We don't have to wait for the hope. That's the ache in most people's heart, is loneliness and hopelessness. The way of Jesus is the answer for both of those problems. Now, kingdom living here on earth is what we get to enjoy and use to demonstrate God's loving answer to the world's problems, which means it's our best method of being fishers of men and disciples too. Kingdom living looks like radically loving our neighbors and enemies, promoting peace and justice and creation care, but it's also a transformative community that happens right here. Over 7 years together at that little church in Dover, Ohio, we grew to about 130. And we're becoming known as the life-healing church in the area, full of a mixture of lifelong Mennonites, ex-churchless people like ourselves, and addicts, homeless societies, homeless people, societies, outcasts, and more. It stayed messy the whole time we were there. But when you became part of this community, this church's community, you couldn't help but be changed. Let me tell you about Pim. This is not her real name. I met Pim at a birthday party. She was a Buddhist who was worried for her daughter, who had gotten in trouble for drinking and driving, and asked me to bring her daughter to church with me since she couldn't drive anymore. So a friend and I took turns bringing her daughter to church and also spent time throughout the week with her, but Pim wouldn't come. One day, her daughter asked her mother once more to join her at church, and so she came. I had the privilege of sitting beside her as she listened to the loving words of a praise song and read them on the overhead, and tears filled her eyes, and she whispered to me, "This is God." She cried, though, through the whole service. The Spirit was very much present and had prepared her heart before she had come, so all glory to God for her heart change, but it was wonderful that God used our church service and community to bring transformation to her life. Today, Pim is an active member at LifeBridge and attends weekly Bible studies there too, and makes her wonderful Thai food for fellowship time. Let me tell you more about this simple community that is still transforming lives. We would eat a light lunch after every service to promote community, and so we knew each other very well. There was always something throughout the week to do together in addition to small groups. Family fun and exercise, which was kid-friendly games in a gym. We'd go for bike rides, play soccer, softball, work in the LifeBridge community garden we had, or ranch, work on the new building. We tried to promote healthy living both in being active church and also in the food that we served without being legalistic about it. It was hard. We had a group who was passionate about prayer, and they would meet and pray for an hour before each service. We were not big on programming, but if you wanted to lead something, it was easy to get the go-ahead to do it. They encouraged risk-taking by making ideas easy to implement and having a passion for creativity. One teen started a drama club. If you played an instrument or sang or wrote poetry, you would be encouraged to do that. We covered the walls with local art, pictures of our church members, so you felt like you were at home seeing your face on the wall and your family. Everyone was viewed as having gifts to share no matter their background. Church was where I felt like I could be my most genuine self, let my guard down and even be silly, sharing what we had and who we were with each other. We had a list of our possessions and skills that we had to share. This is the culture of the community, and though it wasn't perfect, it was compelling and it was transforming. You wanted to come back. It felt like bringing the prayer to life, that prayer, "Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Vulnerability, grace, and loving assertiveness in who we were marked this transformative community. It wasn't perfect, and it had a lot of communication problems. That was one of our issues. And it struggled to start other church plants, which was one of our hopes and goals of our church. But it was our family, and we loved them. So last summer, when we came to Oregon, we were looking for a new church home again, and we visited a number of churches. Some that were Anabaptist, and some that were not. We were faced with the reality that every church has its strengths and weaknesses, and there was no LifeBridge in Oregon, and that was hard to let go of. But we learned that all these churches that we visited really had a lot to learn from each other. If only we could get them to communicate. These long-standing churches that were not what we were coming from here, they usually have a process and a routine about them and a culture that can be felt, can be good or bad. We were disappointed that we struggled to see the Spirit moving in many of these churches, and often they weren't growing much in number. You see, church plants, by their very nature, have to be pliable because they're always changing. But the problem with church plants is that they're volatile. They're very much at risk for falling apart. So it was by the grace of God that LifeBridge survived, and now it's no longer a new church plant, but it's growing roots of its own after 8 years, almost nine, I think, because it was there before we got there. So I'm just as thankful that my children aren't babies anymore, and I'm thankful that not all churches are church plants. But I do think that we need to be careful that the roots that we are growing are drawing upon a healthy source of water. I propose that every year, church bodies should have a physical checkup. Leaders should evaluate healthy and unhealthy parts of the body through prayer, discussion, feedback from the congregation, and using the early church in Acts 2 as a baseline. It says, all the believers shared everything in common. They sold their possessions and goods and divided the proceeds among the fellowship according to individual need. Day after day, they met by common consent in the temple. They broke bread together in their homes, sharing meals with simple joy. They praised God continually, and all the people respected them. Every day the Lord added to their number those who were finding salvation. In my relationship with my husband, I have a term for connecting with him emotionally. I made it up when we first met, I think, at age 17 years old. Probes, that I need to have a few probes every day where we listen to each other's hearts, or I feel distant and disconnected. You see, we as a church are the bride of Christ. The Spirit and the Word of God are God's way of connecting with us. When we don't hold ourselves up for examination, we're at risk of getting caught into a trap of tradition that can keep us from hearing the Holy Spirit's direction. This church has a wonderful opportunity between pastors to contemplate and hold yourselves up to God for evaluation. A marriage retreat, if you will. The best marriages result in deepening intimacy and becoming more like each other, and let that be our goal with God. The fruit or offspring of that intimacy with God is Christ-like character and a desire to share the good news with others. So how do we share God's love with genuineness and balance in our approach that doesn't tip the scales on being too aggressive or passive in our interactions with others? And based on my experience at LifeBridge, I have some ideas. And before we do, I think we have a quick video of... if you want to see it. You guys want to see my old church? It's fun. Okay. It's only 3 minutes long. So, thanks. Can you wait? All right. So, sharing God's word, this our scripture that we've had read earlier was referencing shining your light. And that's what this is all about. Loving assertiveness, vulnerability, and grace. The word assert comes from the Latin word assertus, which means joined to, defended, or claimed. And break it down even more. The ser part of the word comes from the Latin seres, or serere, to connect. To assert ourselves as Christians doesn't mean to be pushy or force things onto others. When we assert ourselves in the name of Jesus, we are simply connecting ourselves to God. If we don't do this, our service to God becomes simply good deeds, which anybody can do. This is what the early Christians suffered and were martyred for, connecting themselves to Jesus. We are called to do this with love, respect, and gentleness, which could easily sound as passive as the word assertive sounds aggressive, but there is a third way. It's easy to be tempted that we don't need to speak up as if our actions speak for us, or to think that we have nothing valuable to say. But what we aren't aware of is all the other ways, I love this, all the other ways that God is preparing the hearts of other people. It may only take a brief encounter with you for a person to receive a much longer and intricate message that is from God sent through several people. When we listen to God's still small voice and hear in our hearts to say or do something, we must act on it. We align ourselves with God's will for us fearlessly. This is what makes kingdom living so exciting. God may ask us to be vulnerable, take a chance, invite somebody to church or dinner or both, do what we always do with unexpected results, do something completely countercultural, break the law, or even die. You don't know what's going to happen or what he's going to ask, but you do know if you obey, it will not only be more rewarding and but also full of joy than if you don't. Must we speak? The maxim, preach the gospel, and if necessary, use words, is not in the Bible. What is in Mark 16:15. Jesus said to them, go into all the world and preach the good news to everyone. Period. Why do studies say that Mennonite churches are typically comprised of only 2% new believers? Certainly not because they don't have anything good to offer. More likely because there's a hesitancy to speak up so much so that others don't know what our good works mean or who they point to. An author you may know named Ron Sector says, actions make our words more credible, more compelling. Words and service must go hand in hand. We don't have to convince anybody of anything. That's God's job. And again, we should not force ourselves onto others. A simple invitation can be very powerful. Come, eat with me at church this Sunday. We're having a potluck. Just bring yourself. Let's make it clear to the world who we are connected to. Loving assertiveness, vulnerability, and grace. Vulnerability goes hand in hand with being authentic and truth-telling. Though it seems scary to share parts of you or your heart with others that you might not normally, it is freeing and empowering too. 2 Corinthians 12:9 says, "But he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for power is made perfect in weakness. So I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. Therefore I am content with weakness, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities for the sake of Christ. For whenever I am weak, then I am strong.'" Sharing the good news begins with telling your story, your personal account of change, big or small. We did a lot of sharing our stories of seeing God throughout our week when we came together on Sundays. And I think it gave us practice for sharing our stories, and it gave us all the more stories to share if it was a shareable story. They usually were. Here's an example. I'll go first. I struggle with being patient with my children. I didn't even know I had a temper until I had children. I love them, but... So for 8 years, I have a 10-year, almost 10-year-old, but it started around when he was about 2, and I had the second one. And around that time, I just began to struggle daily, just constant frustration and anger. And I've been on my face regularly, praying to God that he would lift this from me and give me a gentle, sweet spirit and help me be patient and be kind. And I have seen some improvement for sure, but I still struggle. And in a recent effort to work on this, my children and I did a sticker chart in the month of March this year. And if the kids thought I didn't lose my temper the day before, I got a sticker. And all credit going to God, I can tell you I've gone from all day long, everyday anger 8 years ago to only losing my temper once or twice a week now. And that is a huge, I'm really proud of these stickers. So praise God for change yet again. And I still have other struggles, and I'm still working on this issue, but vulnerability says, I'm not perfect, and I'm not going to hide God's work in my life. I'm not going to hide it from the world. I will let it be shown. Painting a picture and hanging it on the wall of your church and singing a song is also vulnerability as well. Are you hiding your light? Please let it shine. This is God's glory, not ours. Loving assertiveness, vulnerability, and grace. Our knee-jerk reaction to vulnerability needs to always be grace as Christians. Doing this fosters more vulnerability, which leads to healing and change. Grace is important as well because it's pivotal in the flexibility that must go with change. Adding more people to a church is like adding more ingredients to a recipe, and it changes the flavor. We must respond to these changes with grace, even if it doesn't taste good at first, and be flexible on anything we can possibly be flexible on, lest we be guilty of living tradition over God or people. Forgive us our sins as we have forgiven others reminds us that we are, in fact, being measured, not by our works, but by our grace. Like the man who was forgiven the giant debt and then turned around and couldn't forgive the tiny little loan. Woe unto us who have been given every advantage in life, raised in good homes, have a history in the church, and yet cannot show grace or flexibility on the small stuff. That petty rigidity in the kingdom turns people away from the good news. Let people be works in progress, as I am, perhaps you too. Knee-jerk grace, where we show automatic kindness, especially in response to vulnerability, leads to intimacy, which leads to trust and relationship. Let me repeat that. Knee-jerk grace, especially in response to vulnerability, leads to intimacy, which leads to trust and relationship. And this is key to sharing the good news of God's hope, love, and forgiveness. Okay, the summary time. You can listen now. Anabaptist tradition and theology embraces many tenets of the Bible that other Christian traditions neglect. These are the truths that the world really needs to hear. I know I did. Churches are okay when they're not perfect. In fact, the messier the church that continually seeks God, the brighter it shines when the Spirit does its work, revealing God's amazingness. The Spirit is moving. The Spirit is here and inside of you. It may involve change, but fear not. God is with us. Satan would just love it if you guys got discouraged or complacent. It's time to put ourselves in a place of risk and possible persecution again. Albany Mennonite Church, you have a unique opportunity to reevaluate your priorities, the way you've always done things, and identify gifts and passions that this congregation brings to the table. I know you all had a wonderful experience last December, raising so much money for the homeless shelter and helping transform your community in that way. How awesome was that? Now is a great time to seek the Holy Spirit's guidance for the church's next direction. While you're waiting to hear from the Lord, why not try church as story? Take turns telling personal accounts of God's work in your lives. Like I did today. I'm just a housewife, okay? There's nothing in the Bible about churches having a dynamic preacher. After just 3 years with his disciples, Jesus, the perfect one, said, "But you are to be given power when the Holy Spirit has come to you. You will be witnesses to me, not only in Jerusalem, not only throughout Judea, not only in Samaria, but to the very ends of the earth." Then he ascended into heaven. He left. He promised the power of the Holy Spirit to be with them, told them to tell others what they had seen, which is being a witness, and he went away. So be filled with the Spirit of God and tell your story. Tell it to each other. Tell it to your family and your coworkers, so anyone who will listen. Share with loving assertiveness, vulnerability, and grace. Close our eyes and meditate on this awesome message translation of Matthew 5 in closing. Here's another way to put it. You're here to be light, bringing out the God colors in the world. God is not a secret to be kept. We're going public with this, as public as a city on a hill. If I make you light bearers, you don't think I'm going to hide you under a bucket, do you? I'm putting you on a light stand. Now that I've put you there on a hilltop, on a light stand, shine. Keep open house. Be generous with your lives. By opening up to others, you'll prompt people to open up with God, this generous Father in heaven.